Welcome to The Weekly, a look back at WHQR's top stories of the past 7 days. It's Saturday, August 8th. I'm Caitlin Freund, and this is The Weekly. The top story of the week was Hurricane Isaias, coming ashore as a Category 1 storm late Monday evening. Rachel Lewis-Hilburn was on the air Monday afternoon and evening with forecasts and updates, and back on the air Tuesday morning with reports of damage and power outages. And WHQR continued live hourly updates through the day. Rachel Keith filed this report.
Governor Cooper says even though the hurricane arrived at the worst possible time, local officials were ready.
In North Carolina, we don't have the luxury of sitting back and see how hurricane season goes. That's especially true during a pandemic. State and local emergency managers, already working around the clock on COVID-19, spent months preparing for a hurricane, detailing the extra precautions we would need this year during the pandemic.
With cleanup now underway, Cooper says remember to take the recommended coronavirus precautions.
So help your neighbor, but do it safely. Wear your mask, keep your distance, and bring your hand sanitizer.
With many in the eastern part of the state still without power, officials say if you're going to use a generator, be careful and follow the manufacturer's safety guidelines. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
As the Cape Fear region woke up Tuesday to downed trees and property damage from suspected tornadoes, wind, and rain, hundreds of thousands of residents in the region were without power. I spoke with some residents about their storm experiences.
That yard was full of debris, and there were some big branches down on the backyard. No damage, but it was sort of surprising.
How so?
I just wasn't expecting it to be like that, to be sort of a mess, you know?
That's Susan Francie. She slept through most of Hurricane Isaias, which made landfall as a Category 1 hurricane Monday night. One of her neighbors didn't sleep quite so soundly.
Well, the power went out and I was afraid of the dark, so I had to go and sleep with my mommy and daddy for the rest of the night.
That's Beatrix Franklin. Her mom, Kelly Franklin, spent much of Tuesday morning cleaning up branches around their yard.
We had a small branch land on our chicken coop, but the chickens were fine. I think we were, you know, luckier than some with trees.
As of Tuesday afternoon, more than 200,000 people across the state were still without power. And as Wilmington struggles back to normal, one resident looked on the bright side.
Everywhere I've gone today, drivers have been incredibly polite. Traffic stopping on the major roads to let people make left turns and get across without any sort of police direction or anything. Everywhere, everyone has been amazingly polite. And it's so refreshing.
For the next few days, the cleanup will continue. Caitlin Freund, WHQR News.
For information about how your city or county is handling storm debris pickup, go to WHQR.org. By midweek, the news turned from hurricane coverage to the ongoing question of how to reopen schools. On Coastline, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn spoke with New Hanover County Schools Teacher of the Year, Elizabeth Feltz, and Assistant Principal for the International School at Gregory, Jean Hall. They discussed the unique challenges teachers and students are facing this fall, and you can listen to that full conversation online at whqr.org. And as part of WHQR's collaboration with NPR stations across the state, Rachel Keith filed this report about teachers' concerns over returning to the classroom during a pandemic.
As one teacher put it, it's been a whirlwind of plans. In early July, teachers in Wilmington, like others across the state, eagerly anticipated Governor Roy Cooper's announcement about school reopenings. Then the decision was delayed.
We want our children back in school safely, and we'll have an official announcement next week.
But when it was announced, it really wasn't a decision at all. Instead, the governor gave local school districts the option of opening under a hybrid plan, including both in-person and online classes, or a plan where instruction would take place only online. New Hanover County chose the hybrid plan, with students rotating through 1 week of in-person instruction and then 2 weeks online. That meant all teachers would have to return to the classroom, and some of them weren't happy.
We don't want to be a year from now completely upset and distraught going back into the building and not seeing five or four of our colleagues, because we know that they had severe complications from COVID and either can't come back to work at all or that they've passed.
That's Amanda White. She's a high school chemistry teacher, and she's the president of the New Hanover County chapter of the North Carolina Association of Educators. She didn't waste time airing her concerns about her colleagues who were in the high-risk category, including ones older than 65 or with a pre-existing health condition. And Amanda adds that just because she's not in a high-risk group doesn't mean she should have to teach in person.
They're going to force the younger, healthier teachers into the classrooms, putting them at risk, which is insulting.
Other teachers decided the risk was too great. Robert Turk retired officially August 1st of this year. He taught mainly high school math and calculus for 26 years.
I saw kind of the writing on the wall that I just didn't think that being in person to teach was going to be viable. Even if we started that way, there were going to be cases and we were going to shut down anyway. So I'm just like, I don't know if I want to do that.
Nathaniel Johnson, who's been an elementary educator for 23 years, knows what the virus is capable of.
It's really scary because I know of people who have personally who have had COVID. I know of a principal who died recently. And so those kinds of things always are in the back of our mind.
On top of that, there's the issue of masks and social distancing. When Governor Roy Cooper issued the mandate that all K through 12 students would have to wear masks, that was something Robert Turk knew would be difficult.
I would have been like, wait, you have to put your mask back on. I mean, and that would have been happening probably all day long because I wouldn't have just let it go.
And there are other questions about in-person reopening, like how will temperatures be taken and who will take them? Amanda White says that many schools lack nurses and that teachers would have been the ones most likely doing the medical screenings and enforcement of social distancing and sanitizing protocols.
We have a nurse 2 to 3 days out of the week, and she goes to other sites throughout the day. And so these are things where we're actually being put on the front line and we don't have any hazard pay.
Most everyone agrees that in-school instruction offers important emotional and social connections for students. But does that justify the risk? Robert Turk.
You're putting 10 kids in a classroom together, but we're like yelling at them if they get near each other. We're telling them they can't touch each other. We're telling them they can't share supplies. That's not the socialization that the students are used to.
Danielle Smallwood is in her 8th year teaching elementary school, and she has 2 young children, ages 4 months and 2 years old.
I am constantly trying to have pep talks with myself and just remain positive, because that's the most important thing we have to do for our students and our parents and each other.
With all the confusion this summer, patience will be critical.
This year will be like building an airplane as we're flying it. We have no idea what the school year is going to bring. Many of us are confused, and I know that we're not the only ones. I know that administration is confused and trying to make plans that will work.
And while teachers have always worn many hats, Nathaniel Johnson says this year is different.
We just need to be more sympathetic, especially because we have to deal with a whole lot of stuff. We become counselors, nurses, and sometimes surrogate parents. The public needs to be more understanding. This is totally different. It's a new norm.
13 days after New Hanover County Schools committed to a hybrid plan, the school board changed its mind, voting 6-1 to move instruction online for the first 9 weeks of school. To many teachers, this came as a relief, but they all say they will miss being with their students on campus. Here's Danielle Smallwood.
Of course, I'm going to miss watching them in their small group and laughing and having a good time. And it has taken me a really long time to understand that that might not happen this year. It's very emotional.
Emotional for everyone. Teachers, students, and families all across the state. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
To listen to that full show, go to whqr.org. You're listening to The Weekly. As the week wound down, Governor Roy Cooper announced that Phase 2 coronavirus restrictions, keeping gyms and bars shuttered, will remain in effect for another 5 weeks.
North Carolina's Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Mandy Cohen, says that the metrics the state monitors are stable, but are not improving fast enough. Governor Roy Cooper.
Stable is good, but decreasing is better. And while we are seeing stabilization of our numbers, that doesn't mean we can let up. We know this stability is fragile, and these trends can change quickly if we let down our guards.
And with the risk of students returning to the classroom, both in public schools and in universities, Governor Roy Cooper says now is not the time to loosen restrictions.
In order to push for decreasing numbers, which will keep people healthier and boost our economy, North Carolina will remain paused in Safer at Home Phase 2 for 5 weeks.
Cooper says that relaxing guidelines and moving to Phase 3 is in the hands of North Carolinians.
Our success at returning thousands of students, teachers, and staff safely to classrooms this month depends on us doing what works.
And what works is the 3 W's, waiting 6 feet apart, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
And the week ended as it began with thoughts about hurricanes. Experts warn the hurricane season is really just beginning.
At a Tuesday press conference, Governor Roy Cooper praised the efforts of state and local emergency managers and first responders.
I'm thankful for their work and pray we don't need to see it in action again anymore this year.
But Rick Lutick, the director of UNC Chapel Hill's Institute for Marine Sciences, says there's a high probability that Isaias will not be the only hurricane this season.
The truth is, given how the conditions are set up this year, I have to believe we'll have at least one more of these impact our area or at least threaten our area.
And he says we're just getting started.
Normally, the high part of the season is from late August through the end of September. In fact, the peak day for hurricane impacts is the 15th or 16th of September. So we're a long ways away from that right now.
Lutick is the co-creator of a national storm surge prediction model, and he says our coastal geography is particularly susceptible to flooding.
Because our coastline is shaped like crescents, the storm surge really gets trapped in those little crescent shapes.
Which means when it comes to major rain events,
the coastline will catch it and hold it in that crescent area.
So shore up your hurricane plans, build an emergency kit, and keep an eye on the weather. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
And that's what's happening in the Cape Fear region. You can listen to our continued news coverage at 91.3 FM, visit our website, or stream us online anytime at whqr.org. For WHQR News, I'm Caitlin Freund, and this is The Weekly.